All right, Pastor Clark, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir. Hello, Pastor Clark. All right. I believe Pastor Clark is on the line. I think we're just trying to reconnect here. And technology, folks, there's always a possibility with technology. All right, Pastor Clark. Okay, sir, I hear you, Pastor Clark. But I do hear some sound looping, Pastor. There's like sound going back and forth there on your side, I think. But I did hear you just a moment ago, sir. All right, I know Pastor should be on in just a few moments, sir. Thank you for your patience, everyone. And we should let you know we are going to be doing something different this week for our Spanish.
Brother Vic, yes, can you hear me?
Okay, yes, I'm loud and clear, Pastor.
Okay. Brother Booker, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Well, church, I want to say tonight that we're very, very happy to have Brother Booker speaking to us tonight. This is a real treat. Our neighboring pastor and also our good friends. And I would just like to say that Brother and Sister Booker and Sister Clark and I met, man, it's getting close to 40 years ago in the early 80s when we were pastoring in Madeira. And while they were preaching for us, we found out that our wedding anniversaries are exactly the same date, January the 20th of 1973. And so we've celebrated through the years many, many anniversary times together. And Brother Booker and I have been in a lot of meetings through the years. And we've prayed together and sought the face of the Lord together. And then 23 years ago, the Lord revealed his will to both of us to come to where we're at today. That was 23 years ago, and we both came to ourself, Ontario, Brother Booker in Rialto, about a little over 23 years ago, and so here we are as neighbors, and I just want to say that we really, really appreciate Brother Booker, and Brother Booker, I want you to take your liberty tonight, whatever you feel upon your heart. Our church is listening, and we're looking forward to it. God bless you.
And God bless you, Brother Clark, and your family, and God bless the Church of Ontario and everything that you're doing and all the hearts and souls and minds that are being touched through the collective ministry, Pastor Clark's ministry, every one of yours reaching out and touching hearts and lives, especially in these days when there's a lot of fear out there, there's a lot of unrest out there, a lot of confusion. I could keep going with the adjectives and the description because we all know. But God's on the throne. He knows exactly where we are, where the church is, and where hungry hearts are. And he knows exactly how to make the very best out of any and every situation. So we thank God for what all you are doing. Thank God for the Brother and Sister Clark and their friendship and every one of you. I'm going to bring a devotion tonight, and I hope it is a blessing to you. There was a phrase in Scripture that kept kind of drifting up to me, and it took me a while to, if I can use this analogy, but it took me a while to get a handle on it and realize what the Lord was trying to say to me. So with that, I'm going to read to you from the book of Genesis chapter 8 and going to begin reading in verse number 20. I'm only going to read a couple of verses here, 20 and 21. And there we find these words. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the Lord. In verse 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. I don't need to reiterate what this story is about, and we will pray about our text, but I'll tell you what, we will pray at the end of this together and just ask God to touch all of us and help us and hope that his word has free course in us. But not having to rehearse a lot of this story, because we know that Noah's day is as our day. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the time of the coming of the Son of Man. And violence would fill the earth. There would be broken marriages everywhere. Uncleanness, you name it, and it was in Noah's day, to the point that the Bible said it repented God that he had made man. He came to the place he was sorry he ever made the world. But, thankfully, there was a man by the name of Noah who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God made him a preacher of righteousness, and he built an ark. They took 120 years for the building of the ark. I do not personally believe that it was just himself and his three sons. A mammoth undertaking of that nature took a mammoth workforce, I'm sure. And it's pretty sad commentary that you would have people working on the ark that never got into the ark. They could have. Noah preached to them. He reached for them. But alas, they did not. So we know the story. God shut the door. The rains came. And what is guesstimated a year-ish later, they land on what is called Mount Ararat to this day. And the saga of man begins anew. One of the first things that God does, commands Noah does, is to build an altar, to take of the set-aside clean beast and offer burnt offerings on an altar that he had built. And the statement, the Lord smelled a sweet savor. Now, we know God is a spirit. We're made in his image. We have hearing, sight, taste, touch. Again, smell. We have all of these senses that God has given us. We're made in the image of God. But he's speaking anthropomorphically in his smelling a sweet savor. He indeed did. We indeed do. But when he smelled that sacrifices, those sacrifices, as the fire would meet the flesh and it would begin to work. And anybody that has ever been, if I can use this, around a barbecue or barbecue pit or place and has smelled the savor of the meat cooking, we don't do it in California like they do in the Deep South, but it's nevertheless, it is a real deal. Well, when God smelled the sacrifices being offered up, it was such a sweet savor to him that he now begins to make promises that he won't curse the ground anymore for man's sake. And he goes on that it's going to be this way while the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, day and night. his promises will not cease. That term, sweet savor, those two words together, are actually found 43 times in the scripture. 42 of those times are found in the Old Testament. Just a couple. And the text we read is the first time it was ever found. In Exodus 29:18, the Lord speaking to and through Moses, "Thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord." Leviticus 3:5, "Aaron's sons shall burn it upon the altar of the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord." And this goes on and on throughout the giving of the law, and then down into the book of Ezekiel. He is telling them in chapter 20 that there would be a house in Israel. There they would serve him. He was letting them know that he was going to bring them back into the land from whence they had been thrust out. But in verse 41, he said, "I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified before the heathen." So I'd just like ask you to think with me for a moment. When you consider, by the time God, the sacrifice, came to the place that he would smell the sweet savor, how much time and action, work, etc., went into preparing that sacrifice? We are in the days of the microwave. It's instant, everything from oatmeal on, and pop it in, push it 30 seconds, and it's out, etc. It wasn't that way, and especially with these sacrifices. When you consider that each and every sacrifice, be it a firstborn lamb or a ram or a bullock, there was a time when that animal was being created in its mother's womb. There was a time of birth. There was continual feeding, both from mother and then from shepherd or herdsman. The sacrifice would grow to a certain point. It would be chosen from the herd or from the flock. It would be taken to the place of sacrifice, or under the law, taken to the priest. The animal would be slain. The processes of preparation would be made. Finally, it would be placed upon the brazen altar. The fire had been built, or it kept going. And then it would lay there until finally the smoke would begin to ascend and the aroma would begin to ascend. So there was just a lot that went into it before God would smell that sweet savor, and it would work the work that it was intended to do. And that work was, of course, because we understand the price that Jesus Christ paid. Every sacrifice was really simply rolling ahead the sins that had been committed, that were now being covered, as it were, from the sacrifices made, but they were rolling them ahead, all through the centuries of the tabernacle, on through the centuries of the temple. And all of this went on basically for 4,000 years until the fullness of time had come. And the Lamb that had been slain in the mind of God from the foundation of the world would come. and Jesus Christ would offer up, if you please, the sweetest savor ever offered. And it was God himself paying the price. The invisible God having become visible, the Father having taken on flesh and becoming Son. This God who could not be tempted now would be in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He had no blood. Now the only innocent blood that would ever pump through a human heart would pump through and out of his wounds as he would be offered up as the supreme sacrifice. And that sacrifice there that day at Calvary was the focal point of all human history. Now, how much time went into that sacrifice? Not only from the foundations of the earth, down through the years, the centuries, the millennium, God keeping watch over the house of David, raising up a maiden named Mary from the house of Nathan, not Solomon, but Solomon's brother Nathan. The child would be formed in the mother's womb, 9-month preparation by the Spirit of God, birth would be given, the magi would come, the shepherds would be in adoration, the angels would sing, then the boy would be prophesied over in the temple, he would be raised, he would live to be 30, he would be baptized by John the Baptist, he would begin his ministry. Even the last week alone, every action taken, it was all there because he was being chosen. He was the sacrifice. When you consider the Last Supper, going to Gethsemane to pray, the arrest, the high priest, the sham trial, going to Pilate, being beaten, going to Herod, being beaten, the cross to Golgotha, the nailing, the suspended up into the air. There he is, hour after hour, until he finally says, "It is finished." And he gives up the ghost. And the sweetest savor ever produced, all of the sins that have been covered through the sacrifices, all of the dealings of God with people now was being paid for. And his mercies are extended to us today. And they still go back 2,000 years to that moment of sweet savor. This is why in Ephesians 5 and 2, and this does not say sweet savor, but it's a direct reference. He tells us to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's what Jesus Christ was. But there's another place it's found in the New Testament, and it's about us. It's about you and me. This is where the words sweet savor are found. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14, 15, and 16. It says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us, in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor." God's church, to him, we now are a sweet savor of Christ. He goes on, "In them that are saved and in them that perish." He said, "For to the one we are the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life, and who is sufficient for these things. Now I'm going to give that to you in the Taylor rendition. Thanks be to God, for through what Christ has done, he has triumphed over us, so that now wherever we go, he uses us to tell others about the Lord and to spread the gospel like a sweet perfume. As far as God is concerned, there is a sweet, wholesome fragrance in our lives. It is the fragrance of Christ within us, an aroma to both the saved and the unsaved all around us. To those who are not being saved, we, that's you and I, we, the Church of God, we seem a fearful smell of death and doom. While to those who know Christ, we are a life-giving perfume. But who is adequate for such a task? Now, I'm a little closer to being done than what you might think. I really am. How long does it take to produce a sweet savor? How long did it take to produce Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he made? How long does it take to produce a truly sweet, savored, knowledgeable child of God that sends forth this sweet fragrance? Well, we know that the moment one repents, is baptized in Jesus' name, and with that repentance and baptism in Jesus' name, it works the remission of sins, and they receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues is the evidence. From that moment, we are the sweet fragrance of God. But when it comes to being able to handle the situations of life, the traumas, the dramas, to where we have enough of the Word of God in us and experience in us, and we know how to react, and we have been established in God to give the proper reactions, so that in every situation with the saved or the lost, we have come to the place, it's a sweet savor. It takes a while, but the fragrance that a mature child of God can bring to the Lord is really something. He referred to it as a sweet savor. Now, I want you to notice in the book of Acts chapter 10, we read of a man in Caesarea called Cornelius. He is a centurion of the Roman army. He's a devout man. He fears God with all his house. He gives much alms to the people. He prays to God always. But he is a Gentile. And he does, if he might have known the name of Jesus, but he was not a follower. But he cared for the things of God. Some of the obvious teachings of the Judeo-theology had gripped him. So we know what happens. He sees about noonday an angel of God coming into him while he's praying and says, Cornelius. And he says, what is it, Lord? And he said, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. It didn't say they were a sweet savor, but it did say his almsgivings and his prayers were like a memorial to God. So now, send men to Joppa. Get Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's in the house of Simon the Tanner. He's going to come tell you what needs to be done. If this is a man who's not yet born again, and we know that when Peter preached to him, the Holy Ghost fell, and he commanded him to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And so, yes, there he is. He is now a child of God, every bit as much by the mercies of God as we are today. But even before he was the sweet savor of Christ, his prayers and alms were building a memorial. Brothers and sisters, here is my point. And it's found in Psalms 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Our prayers, our worship to God, is like a sweet perfume. It's an incense. One paraphrase puts it this way: let my prayer be accepted as sweet smelling incense in your presence. Let the lifting up of my hands in prayer be accepted as an evening sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, I'm just speaking for myself. We all know what it's. Sometimes you enter into the church house, or you find your proverbial closet of prayer in your home, and you can get into the spirit of prayer almost instantly. Thank God for those times. Other times it kind of takes a while, but just you stick around, you keep praying, you keep worshiping, you keep talking to God, you keep taking the needs that you know of. It may be a prayer list or one that's embedded in your heart or the needs of the moment. And it sometimes when it's just coming into a prayer room, it takes me personally about 20 minutes before I feel like the fragrance, the sweet perfume, the evening offering, the incense is being offered up to God. So a truly sweet prayer meeting is one of the most beautiful things that we can do. We offer up to God. He's had his name cursed all day long, mocked all day long, scoffed at all day long, and now he's hearing people praise him and love him and call upon him, take petitions to him, glorify him. It's one of the sweetest smelling savors that he hears. And again, it was all purchased by the sacrifice that he made when he robed himself in human flesh at Calvary. So we're going to pray together, and I'm turning it back to your wonderful pastor, and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you, God.
Lord,
we thank you for your mercy to us.
I love you, Lord.
You have been kind and gracious and mighty and holy. Anoint our hearts and our minds and our souls and our spirit. Be with us every day and every way. God bless you all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Booker, for that tremendous, inspiring word of God and this great devotion. This has been really, really good. It's just fit this day and this evening as we're gathering in and getting our hearts toward the Lord. God bless you. Thank you so much. Church, before I give it back to Brother Vic, I want to say that this coming Wednesday night, as I have been telling you, you know, we started with the youth coming to church on Sunday morning, and I've mentioned in the next period of time, we're going to be gradually getting everyone back to church. So I'm really happy to announce tonight that this coming Wednesday night, I would like to have everyone in the church whose last name, those that your name starts with the letter A all the way down to the letter L. So, and all the letters in between there, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L. And so if your last name starts with any of those letters from A to L, we will be excited to see you in church on Wednesday night. God bless you, and Brother Vic, I'm turning it to you.
Thank you, Pastor Clark, and thank you, Brother Booker, and thank you for that great word tonight and for the reminder of the great sacrifice the Lord offered on Calvary's Hill. Church, let's pray that we can offer that sweet-smelling savor when we come to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Well, once again, church, we want to remind everybody about our morning manna devotion tomorrow at 10:15 a.m. We're going to be hearing from Sister Rachel Macias, and we look forward to having everyone with us tomorrow morning once again. God bless all of you. Have a great night. Amen.